Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another episode of the Snugcast with your host Owen and co-host DJ Walsh again. We're in Phil Grimes pub in John Street in Waterford. How are you getting on? DJ, we've had a fucking savage night so far.
Oh, listen, man.
We're on, pint about nine, I'd say.
We're probably on pint. Like, it depends on what you count as a pint, right? So we started off today, we went down and we have a couple of bits lined up with Yellow Belly Beer and their new bar at Grady's Yard in Waterford. Can't fucking wait to get this out. Went down, met them, had a look around their bar, had a couple of sneaky pints, and they have some absolute treats on tap down there. Like, I can't fucking wait to describe each and every one of them. So we had a couple of pints. Literally, we got so leery having a few tasters. We had to go for a bag of chips before we came down here to Phil Grimes. We got to Phil Grimes, right? And we went and sat at the bar to order a drink and have a chat with Tom. And we've literally spent an hour and a half having great conversations with Tom and the regulars here in Phil Grimes. Eventually we were like, right, we need to fucking just order a drink and go off down to the Snug and do the Snugcast, because if we don't, we'll never get fucking done. Great night so far. Look, lads, episode 5, we're fucking leery and we've got a treat for you.
So I think tonight we're actually just going to take a few of our listener questions in. Like, fair play to you lads, like we thought this was only a bit of a mess, but like, there's actually been fucking absolutely great interaction with everyone.
We thought we'd get 5 or 10 minutes of content, but we probably have a whole episode now, and that's all we're going to focus on, isn't it?
Yeah, people have been like fucking tweeting in, sending us messages on Facebook, texting us personally and stuff.
And Instagram.
Sending us like loads of content for us. And yeah, jeez, lads, it's been great. We're actually just so elated with the whole thing. It's absolutely amazing. But as always, we're going to start off our episode with the key thing of the Snugcast as to what we're drinking. DJ, I'll start off with you. What are you drinking?
So what I'm drinking tonight, Owen, is in Phil Grimes here, I'm having a IPA. Love the IPAs. And I'm having an IPA from the Dungarvan Brewing Company, and it's the Greenway IPA. I think it's 4.5 or 4.6%. It is full bodied as they come. You take a sip of this and it just envelops your taste buds, sings on the palate, and goes down a fucking treat. Really enjoying it. Now, I'm probably 8 or 9 drinks in by the time I get to it, but it's absolutely hitting the spot. Dungarvan Brewing Company, Dungarvan, about 40 kilometres south of Waterford. They have a vast array of drinks named after various locations around Waterford, and this Greenway IPA is an ode to the Greenway, which is a cycle track built on an old train track from Waterford to Dungarvan, and it's fucking hitting the spot. Owen, right back at you. What are you drinking tonight?
So, again, I'm leery as fuck, like. So, I'm on Blacks of Kinsale. I'm on the Black IPA. It's fucking tasty. So, basically, I asked Tom here in Infield Grimes, was there a drink that wasn't, like, too hoppy? Because, like, I like full-bodied beers, but, like, I'm not that much a fan of beers that are full of fucking hops. Like, literally...
Yeah.
You know, just... I don't know, just taste a bit maybe a metallic or something. I'm not a big fan of them. So I asked Tom, could he recommend one? And he said this one to me. He said, you know, it is full flavoured, but it's I think it's maybe like a 5.5% beer. Like, so it's on the stronger side of a lager, let's say. It's good. I'm just gonna take a little sip-a-rooney now just to make sure I get the full tasting experience for you lads. Yeah, so it has it does have that hoppy taste of it, right? But like not blow the head off you hoppy, right? And it also tastes way, right?
As you know, I love a fucking smell of a beer, and it smells alright. There's a good kick to malt at the end.
I was just about to say it, right? It has that malty taste as well. Delish.
That's really nice, yeah.
Delish. Again, like, another beer I'd recommend for, like, one or two, but I don't think I'd recommend it for the night.
Do you know what this is? This is the quintessential. The Blacks IPA is the quintessential, right? Imagine myself and Owen have been out since 2 o'clock. Say this evening. We've been out since 6:30. And we've been having a few beers. And you're joining us at 10. And you want to catch up. And we're on a Citra Pale Ale from Yellow Belly. Or we're on a White Gypsy Pale Ale. And we're tipping away in a couple of pints. Have a crack off a few Blacks and you won't be long catching up with us. It's fucking savage.
So I think that kind of wraps up our drinks there for tonight. Like, look, we're going to have a few episodes as well that we'll crack into, like, in more detail, like drinks we're having and stuff. But I think, like, we're experimenting a bit with this podcast, and we're, you know, like, lads, text us what you like, what you don't like. You know, we want to find out what the story is with this podcast. Like,
we want to grow with the listeners.
Yeah, like, if you look, slag us off if you want, we don't give a shite, like.
Yeah.
But just tell us what works, what doesn't work, or whatever. We're just going to leave it at the 2 pints that we're drinking tonight for this podcast, and we'll have probably a few more experimental podcasts in the future, like, you know, that will discuss tasters or like 5 or 6 pints throughout the night or whatever, like, you know. But tonight we're going to go for that. So I think we'll go to the listeners' questions now. All right. So the listeners today, they might notice a little change in the podcast today. DJ, you seem to have a sexier voice. Is this there's a little kind of like sniffly, nasally sexy voice, is there?
I have a bit of a sinus infection. The pints were taking care of it, but Saturday night I was fine. But coming on the night now, the old sniffles are taking over.
I love it though. Go on, here, man.
Speaking of sniffles, Simon Whelan's been on. Simon is a sound lad we play 5-a-side football with, and he works in a hospital as well. Simon knows I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan from the NFL. Watch the NFL, try and see as much as I can every weekend. And he has sent me in a message saying, how did the Buffalo Bills manage to beat the Minnesota Vikings last night? Now, I gave him a slap back on Facebook there with an old gif of a Minnesota Viking giving him the finger. But I think the Minnesota Vikings were beaten by the Buffalo Bills last night simply because they didn't show up. Their mind frame wasn't the right place. Vikings had the best defense in the NFL last year. I probably showed up and thought, Bills are shite, we'll roll them over. Sport is a great fucking leveler, lads. If your mind isn't right, you get beaten. Oh, and you didn't see any of the NFL last night.
No, I like I keep in touch with it. Like I tend to come in towards playoff season and stuff. Like especially, I'm a Patriots fan. Like pre Patriots big successes.
Like the rest.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so.
Like my brother Alan.
Yeah. So basically, my Patriots fandom came from a trip to
Boston, was it?
To Boston in '98, and
which is fair enough.
Which was fair enough, like
pre Tom Brady.
Pre Tom Brady, and literally that was my first trip to America, and like I was kind of like it was one of my parents' friends that we went over to,
yeah.
And like they kind of shared me with like a few of the Patriots kind of gear, yeah. And like
it's funny because. Say my father when I was young, the only time that my father spent away from the family apart from say like when we were in Cork and he went to Kilkenny to the farm and stuff was he went to Texas for a while just when it was myself and Ian, so before Alan was born. So before my brother Alan was born, I would say I was obviously six or younger, so I don't really have a vivid memory of it. But Dad went to do a bit of training in Texas for a while and he came back with a lot of Dallas Cowboys merchandise for me. I fucking knew what American football was. If that was 10 years later, I'd probably be a big Dallas Cowboys fan, but for some reason I'm here with the Minnesota Vikings. It's funny how your family influences these things.
And like your mom gave birth to Alan like 9 months after. The milkman was around the house there, wasn't he?
Alan used to have this ongoing joke in the family. I hope mom and dad don't mind me saying the story, but when dad got a new job working as an engineer for Pfizer, he for the first time ever started working night shifts for 12 hours, and mom trained Alan to wind that up by saying Uncle Tommy was over last night when you were on nights, dad. And Dad used to go cracked. Look, that's a bit of fucking that explains why I am the way I am. That's the fucking family I grew up in. But look, Simon, great fucking question.
Good question, man.
To be honest, how did the Bills manage to beat the Vikings last night? Don't know, purely mental.
Yeah, I think the big question is how the fucking Bears got their first victory ever, was it? Like in fucking
The Browns. First victory for nearly 700 days.
Oh, man, look, that was fucking...
They were close last week. They've been getting close. They're going better as a franchise. But look, not all of you listen to the NFL, so we'll finish up the NFL chat there. But the NFL is shaping up well for the year. Patriots have lost a couple of games. The Packers have tied a game, won a game.
Yeah, different year, like it seems.
So the staples aren't just fucking rolling everyone over. And Andrew Luck's back with the Colts. It'll be a good year for NFL for any of those. You that are fans there. Conor Mudge has been on. Conor, an England underage international bowling, has been on to ask, do you want a game of bowling? Now, Conor, you're a lot better at bowling than I am, I'll wager.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't want a game of bowling with you. But look, you never know. I own it. Are there fucking bowling alleys in Watford?
Conor Mudge, I'll take you on. Right. What's the next question there, DJ?
So, Brian Ferries. Has been on. Brian's a good mate of mine from Carolina. Fair play to the lad. He stayed safe during that hurricane that was about in the last couple of weeks. And Brian has asked an absolute fucking gem of a question.
Go on.
Possibly my favourite question I've ever been asked. What is your favourite thing about living in Ireland? Now, it's not what's your favourite thing about being Irish. And I think, like, if we had Simon on from last week, Simon's a Londoner with Welsh and Scottish heritage who's living in Ireland now and says he'll never move back. It would be a great question for Simon. And we might actually ask him when he's on in the future. But Owen, like, what's your favourite thing about living in Ireland?
So I think I have to go to maybe what like other foreigners say to me first, right?
Right.
About living in Ireland is like basically, I know it's I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. It's like something that like everyone says about Ireland, right?
Yeah.
A stereotype, right? Basically, a stereotype about Ireland is that it's the like the hospitality, the you know the people here. It's you know it's all about the people, right? And I'd have to agree with you know the majority. It's the crack. It literally is the crack, as in like we have the same social problems. We have well, like not. I don't want to fucking tarnish every country with the same brush, but like, yeah. As in, like I suppose, like like in a percentage wise, we probably have like the same unemployment rate as another country. We probably have the same like housing prices as another country. We probably have the same poverty as another country, right? But like, I think the Irish mentality and like the Irish adaptability to just like get on with things and just, I don't know, like it's quite an upbeat country, yeah. Like in some aspects that you're just like, I know like it this can also be like the downfall of Ireland, of the Asher.
It'll all be grand, yeah,
be
and
grand,
then we end up
right?
in a fucking housing crisis.
Right,
but I think, like, your point is very well made in terms of we do have that blasé attitude and we just get on with things. But I went to the cinema last week with Niamh, my girlfriend, shout out to Niamh, and we went to see, we actually went up and there was a long queue and the lads were under pressure, the movies were starting at 8:30, so I said, can I have 2 tickets of Black Klansman, please, something we've both been mad to see, and we're giving the 2 tickets and our popcorn and stuff, so I was fucking fumbling around with the popcorn, had the tickets in his paw but didn't really see what they were,
yeah.
Just handed them to the lad and he said screen one on first on the right, went in, and it was a film that I wanted to see personally but Niamh wasn't keen on seeing. It was Black 47, which is the story of, you know, I won't give you any spoilers, it's basically a story of a lad coming home having fought for the English army during famine times.
It's like
coming
a revenge home, famine, isn't it? Like?
But he's basically, he hasn't seen the famine and he's come home to the famine and it's 1845.
Yeah.
And I suppose the point I'm trying to make is we've come through that. Like we've literally come through having no food as a fucking population and being fine and having a bit of humour. Like there's a lot of dark humour in it, but we've no food, we've no prosperity, we've no prospects, yet we're still able to take the piss out of ourselves.
Mm.
And that carries through to today. And I suppose my point on that is, you're saying living in Ireland, like, you know, we're so hospitable and you could say anything to us and we get on with it. And we just fucking accept things as they are and drive on and drive forward. It's worked against us, yet if we hadn't the same attitude 170 years ago, we would have ceased to exist. And it's just that fucking pride in just being Irish. We're so fucking stubborn that we refuse to fucking, we refuse to be beaten, yeah, with a smile on our face.
Yeah, see that, like, I know. That's it. As in we pick ourselves up at the right times as well. As in, you know, as in the whole rising. Everything along those lines. As in, we're not.
We were betting the rising, yeah, if we were independent 6 years later. So being beaten in the rising, despite it being the biggest mobilisation in 120 years, it didn't defeat us. Do you know what I mean?
And like, that's probably another thing that I find. Sorry, what's the question again?
What's the best thing about being Irish?
Yeah,
no, about living in Ireland, not being Irish. Living in Ireland.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, so, it's a big distinction because
yeah,
there is a
sorry.
Big distinction.
Yeah, sorry. I think I was actually going to answer the being Irish question there, which is a different answer altogether. Which I think I was going to say, like being Irish, and having like that pride in being Irish and like fighting back, right? I think I know this is completely a different question that I don't think
Brian's in mind, he's
no,
so loud.
But I think one of the most proud things I'm proud about being Irish, right, is that fight back and the decolonisation of Ireland, right, that kicked off the decolonisation of the world.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it.
I some people might think that's absolutely ludicrous, but I actually think that it did decolonize the world. Like a lot of people, and a lot of leaders have led from like Mahatma Gandhi, a lot of like the Vietnamese, Cambodian leaders have said that like the Irish uprising that they have mimicked the. Like that means of like, you know, like unsettling the government at the time, like, you know.
But even the means of military action, like guerrilla warfare, that was used by Michael Collins and Ogling Nahiran in the 1912 to 1916, it was fairly revolutionary at the time. And right, a war method that had a completely different aim and outcome but was equally as successful was the Blitzkrieg by Nazi Germany. I'm not fucking equating Irish freedom fighters to Nazi Germany for a second. Please don't get that crossword. However, it just goes to show, like, you know, and Michael Collins and his Ogling na Héireann, with a couple of rifles going up against a full constabulary, could upset the odds just by in, out, fucking shock him, hit him, and move on. You do have that fighting aspect of Irishness. What's my favourite thing about living in Ireland? This week, living in Ireland has been a pain in the hole. Because we wake up in the morning, come out, and it's fucking... You sent me a Snapchat this morning at 7 o'clock, leaving Dublin from Kira, your girlfriend's house, coming down to work in Waterford, and it was fucking 1 degree. And by the time we went on lunch at 1 o'clock today over to Arkeen Stores, Arkeen Quality Food Stores, we always look for a sponsor. by the time we left for Arkeen at lunch, it was fucking 16 degrees. You know, there's that fluctuation in temperature this time of year. But my favourite thing about living in Ireland is the scenery. Like, no matter what time of the year it is, you can drive to any bit of the coast, any mountain. You're within a fucking driving distance of anything, and you can see the most beautiful scenery in the world. Obviously, I had a hybrid of a towny rural upbringing, and you go to the countryside, and Ireland is renowned for the 40 shades of green. Look, Ireland still has places where you can't get mobile phone coverage or cell phone coverage if you're in the States. And our farm in Tullahore, our family farm in Tullahore, is one of those places where you don't get cell phone coverage, and the only noise you can hear are the birds singing in the trees. You get up in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, all I can hear is birds singing in the trees, a couple of cows bawling for a bale of hay, and a tractor across the valley going somewhere. There's no phone, there's no fucking television, and it's just that human interaction with nature. And that's what Ireland has that a lot of countries have probably lost to some degree now.
I know, but I think that's fucking romantic enough for you, right?
Yeah.
But if you were living in that day and out, like, I remember one of my mates from school, we used to go out to his house, and he was living out in Kilmeaden, kind of like Port Law, Kilmeaden,
yeah,
area, right? And when you went out to his house, right, if you wanted to text, so say when I was like 16 or whatever, if you wanted to text your parents that, like, to come and collect you, right, you had to go to the third step on his flight of stairs, text them, and then just put down in the right hand corner of the stairs.
We can't even do that, right? I need to leave the farmhouse, go to the end of the yard and walk up the lane, and then I ring Niamh and say, yeah, I'm here now, I'm after 6 cans of Guinness, and we'll check on the cow that's calving at 2 o'clock, and it fucking works a treat. Brilliant, great fucking question. Absolutely loved
man.
It
thanks, man.
Owen, a quickie for you. Matt McMullen has been on again. Matt, how are you getting on? Looking forward to coming to Waterford and having a visit from us from Washington DC. Matt's a Belfast native. Matt's been on and he asked Owen, Marmalade, yes or no? And I want to preface this with, Gary Illiston has fucking replied back to him on the Facebook straight away and said, Mac McMullen, no sir. Owen Tab, Marmalade, yes or no?
Matt, yes.
Yes?
Yes, that's...
End of? You love Marmalade?
End of, like, it's... Right. I wouldn't buy marmalade, right?
You wouldn't buy it, yeah?
If I was in a hotel and there was marmalade there, I wouldn't take it, right?
Right.
But, like, marmalade is savage. I'm not saying that, like, it's the best thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
But in a yes or no question, scenario, right? Marmalade has its place, like, in the world.
I'm going to give marmalade a bit of context.
Yeah, go on.
So, the first time I ever tasted marmalade was in my parents' house, and my mother had a bit of bread and a bit of marmalade, and she fucking lobbed the bread in the toaster, made a bit of toast, threw a bit of marmalade on. I wasn't too gone in it. And then, last episode, I was asked what my favourite meal was. Well, basically I asked myself what my favourite meal was, because I was hosting an episode, and I said my grandmother's roast chicken, whatever. So my grandmother, Anna Walsh, Anastasia Walsh, what a fucking woman. So she makes homemade brown bread. She makes a loaf of this stuff every single day. Has made a loaf of this stuff every day of her life since I'd say she was a teenager. To this day.
What kind of brown bread is this now?
So it's a... How do I describe my grandma? It's like...
Does it, when it cuts, does it keep its shape? Or?
Oh, it does, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. It's not one of those crumbly... Like,
it's not
know?
A soda bread.
Yeah, okay.
It's not a crumbly bread. It's unique to her in terms of, like, it's a filling bread, right? Yeah. I'll bring you a few slices next time we're there. I'll bring you half a loaf.
She's throwing any nuts into it? Or
No. It's just her recipe. Sure, yeah. That's handed down to her from generation to generation. She picked this up off her mother.
Is it grainy or is it like...
It's mealy.
Mealy, okay.
Yeah. You lash a bit of butter on it. What I normally do with it, I normally when I call to my grandparents' house, I'm there at lunchtime, so I'll have a couple of slices of her bread. I'll have an open sandwich with a bit of cheese, ham and tomato on it, and that's the way I'll eat it. She might give me a half loaf coming home and I'll just fucking eat slices of the bastard with butter. But basically the question is marinade.
Yeah.
And when I was a teenager, now when you're a teenager you're an awkward bastard when it comes to fucking food, right?
And everything else, like.
Everything else, yeah, but specifically with food. A marinade is a kind of cunt in York that you won't be too keen on as a teenager. And my grandmother, when I'd go up and I'd come up to the farm as a teenager, I'd come up to my grandparents' house as a teenager, and she'd have loaves of brown bread baked every day. And in the morning, we'd get up and she'd cut four, five, six slices for you, because she believed young lads need feeding. And she'd leave butter and marinade there. So for a year or two, I ignored the fucking marinade, had the butter and my cup of tea, bowl of porridge. And one day I decided I'd have a little scoop of this marmalade, lashed it on the bread. Owen's just blessed himself there, because we've gone to 19 minutes and 16 seconds in this section. I lashed some marmalade on my grandmother's brown bread, and it became a staple in my diet for years. Now I don't see my grandmother every day, unfortunately. Now I only get to see her every couple of weeks. But if I had my grandmother's brown bread every day, I'd be fucking lashing the marmalade on it. So, Matt, for me, marmalade, absolutely fucking yes.
Yes, yeah.
Caveat on my grandmother's brown bread. That question was a lot better than I thought it was when I read it.
So, the next question we have here is from Ollie Sharp, or 98 Ollie there on Instagram. And he asks, Liverpool's Premier League chances. Now he doesn't put a question mark behind it, but I assume it is it's a question. Implied. What are their chances?
So,
DJ, big Liverpool fan.
I'm a big Liverpool fan. I make the trip several times a year. Have some close friends in Liverpool. Some friends who regularly contribute to this podcast in terms of question form. How are you, Gary? How are you, Matt? And basically, what are Liverpool's Premier League chances? I think it's the best chance we have of winning the league in the 28 years I've been alive. I was born a month after we last won the Premier League title. Maybe someone should shoot me. Look, 6-6 so far, 7-7 if you count the Champions League. The defence is strong. The midfield is underestimated, but very strong. Like, what other midfield in world football has spent 40 million on a holding midfielder that has barely got a minute yet in the season? And the team is 100% record. I think the front three are as good as anyone in Europe. Salah's not hit the fucking ground running, but he's getting the right places. And as Klopp said in his previous press conference, defensively he's been good. I think Firmino, he's got 5 in his last 6. He started the season slow, but he tends to fucking need a couple of games, a run of games to get going. And Mane's got 4 goals in 6 Premier League games, and is playing a bit deeper, and he's still getting 4 goals in 6 league games. So as far as I'm concerned, if Man City don't win, I don't know, 25 of the next 26, 27 games in the league, I think it's hard to stop Liverpool. I think next weekend, which will be the result of the Chelsea match in the league, will be known after this podcast comes out. We're recording it before Liverpool play Chelsea in the League Cup or the League. Chelsea are the nearest rivals in the league at the moment with 16 points. If Liverpool can beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge next weekend, I think all of a sudden they're 5 points clear of Chelsea, at least 2 points clear of City, and they're 8 points clear of United at least. And all of a sudden, it's a bit like City last year, where City go beat a team with a 97-minute scuff shot from Raheem Sterling, and teams all of a sudden decide, we can't beat City, we'll just set up shop, lose 2-0, and go on to our next game. Chance of a league title, as good as they've ever been, I'm not going to be one of these Liverpool fans that says it's our year. I think it's as close to our year as it's ever been, but that City team is one of the best teams we've ever seen in English football. It'll be tough. They've dropped points and we haven't so far, but I think you're talking about a toss of a coin between what is probably, since Ronaldo left Real Madrid, the two best teams in Europe.
Yeah, I have to agree. And obviously, as a United fan, I don't want to agree.
But
if Liverpool don't win a major title this year, so Champions League, Premier League, or FA Cup this year,
I think you can even discount the FA Cup out at this stage. Like, the big four: United, Liverpool, Chelsea, City. They're looking for a Champions League or Premiership. Like, the FA Cup is a consolation prize to those at this stage. The FA Cup is what Arsenal win, and Arsenal are no longer a conversation in the title chase. So
what I was going to say was, right,
yep,
if Liverpool don't win the Champions League, Premier League, or the FA Cup this year, I will ride naked on the horse
live on Instagram for all of our listeners. Share this so that fucker... No, listen, I don't want him to ride naked down the Keane horse. I want Liverpool to win the fucking league, Champions League and the FA Cup. But if they don't, I want this prick naked on a horse down the quays of Waterford. I'll put it live on Instagram.
Life. Cancer Society is...
We'll do a fucking fundraiser for the whole lot. Look, that's all a laugh and a joke. I genuinely think... Liverpool and City are two best teams in Europe. Two best teams in Europe. Barcelona are quite good with Dembele performing at the moment, but he hasn't done it consistently. Two best teams in Europe, and the only difference will be if Liverpool can be as consistent this year as City were last year. City's consistency last year was different level. On a one-off game, Liverpool beat them 3 out of 4. I'm going to beat Liverpool 5-0. Manning got sent off early on for a high foot. Incidentally, right, I think he should have been sent off. But has anybody been sent off for a high foot since? I don't think so. I've seen lads kick the whole hip lads in the face since and haven't been sent off.
Yeah.
So I think City only beat us when we were down to 10 men and Salah missed 3 golden chances in that game, and he wasn't as clinical then as he was in the second half of last season. Similar to this season, he's not been as clinical at the start than he was at the end of last season. I think he'll get going and get on that goal scoring form again, and I just think the way they're playing at the moment, they're not even getting out of second gear, and they're beating West Ham 4-0, and they're beating Southampton 3-0, and they're not even fucking, they're not even getting out of second gear. So if they can keep this level up, it'll be, their games against top six will decide if they win the league or not. And on Champions League, I don't think any team's going to beat them over 2 legs, because in a 10 minute period they can score 4 goals. That's how we hope it plays out. Owen, you're a United fan, I'm sure you don't want that to happen. I don't think United are going to challenge for league this year, even despite the fact they came second last year. They're already 8 points behind Liverpool, which means they're already 6 points behind City. And it's only 6 games gone. Yeah. We're not even a sixth of the way through the season. We're a sixth-ish away through the season, and they already have dropped 8 points. City only dropped 14 points in the whole of last season. Got 100 points. They've already dropped more than 50% of what City dropped last year. And City dropped 2 points in their opening home game last year. City are exactly in the same place they were last year as they were this year. Liverpool are 7 points better off. United are 6 points worse off. So I think Chelsea have huge gaps at the back. They just haven't played a team that will capitalise. If West Ham had Arnautovic on the field at the weekend, I think they probably would have won 2-0. I don't think Chelsea will keep it up. I think Chelsea will be very good next season under Sarri. I don't think they'll keep it up this season. And I think it's Liverpool and City, and it's going to be a case of, can City reach 100 points? And if they don't reach 100 points, can Liverpool get to 96-97?
Yeah, basically what you're saying there with Sarri and Chelsea, I think it's the same deal with United, right?
Yeah.
That you're saying, okay, they won't reach the peaks of Liverpool or City this year, right?
Yeah.
But you're probably giving them the chance to reach peaks next year, right?
I agree, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So with Mourinho at United the first year, I obviously wasn't giving them the peaks to reach that year.
Yeah.
Second year, second year Mourinho, it was, a thing. But like, as in, he can have his off years, right? But,
and that being said, they came up against the best league performers the team has ever given. So you have to just accept that and say, like, United got 86 fucking points last year.
Exactly, right.
What more do you want a man to do?
Yeah, exactly. But, like, this year, like, I just can't watch United. They're so boring, like, as in, like, I don't even know the players, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Martial on his debut and he scored that goal against Liverpool. Compare that to Martial when you've seen him recently. It's night and day.
It's like I'm playing like Pro Evo 4, right? And like, I have to enter the names of the players myself on the team, I actually just don't know the United team. He's just changing the back four every week, I don't know, whatever about, like, changing your attackers every week, changing, like, your forwards and your wingers every week, right? Fair enough, right? But, like, you need that central mid, right?
Yeah.
And you need that back four to be consistent.
Your spine,
right?
Has to be solid, yeah.
Yeah, it has to be solid, like, week in, week out, right? So, like, that's all I want, right? As in, like, so say, like, the likes of, like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right? Throughout throughout the, like, United fucking 97 to 2004 whatever period, right? Like, he was super sub and fucking so well known about that, right? Like, in the same period, right? Like, Nicky Butt, right, was, well-ish known, right, but was fucking lobbed out of the group by Scholes and Keane being in midfield.
Yeah.
Well known. Do you mean, like?
But that being said, when Keane and Scholes played 10 games in fucking 30 days, they'd lob Nicky Butt in against Wimbledon and he'd do the fucking job. They'd win 2-1, 3 points on the board, and he'd win the league. Whereas Liverpool were fucking in Eindhoven, Lee and Aronson.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Nicky Butt went on to be, like, the best player at Birmingham and captain them when they were a Premiership team. Like, it's about that squad, and I think that, well, like, Ollie's question is Liverpool's Premier League chances. Liverpool's Premier League chances are this: they've played 6 league games, they've played, used 12 players from the start. That being said, their bench has been stronger than it's been in years. Fucking Henderson and Keita have been rotating in the league. Jordan Henderson gets a lot of stick online, but he's actually a fucking brilliant footballer. I hate the stick that he gets online. Like, oh, he only passes the ball backwards and forwards. Google Jordan Henderson forward passes, go into YouTube and see the fucking balls, see the assists he gets. Fucking, the lad has a pass in him. And if you don't agree, fuck off at me on Twitter. I'll fucking run with you. And then you've got Shaqiri, best player of Stoke by a mile, and they were shit. And the lad has played for Inter and Bayern, right? I don't care what you say, the lad can put the ball in a fucking top corner from 30 yards. Sometimes we just fucking need that. Also on the bench at the moment, Fabinho, Monaco's fucking key interlink, Julien Laurent's a well known fucking French journalist, has said he's the best signing of the summer. The lad hasn't played fucking 3 minutes yet, best signing of the summer. Fucking Naby Keita, the king of Red Bull Leipzig, propelled them from second division Germany into Champions League. The guy is going to be a gem. He just needs to get used to the system. And I just think Liverpool have this system. All of a sudden, Joe Gomez is coming to centre-back because Dejan Lovren's been injured. He played right-back a bit last year. And all of a sudden, he slots in centre-back and he looks like fucking Paolo Maldini alongside Van Dijk. And Liverpool 2 years ago were as good going forward as they are now, but they couldn't defend for fuck. They had a donkey, block-headed Belgian chap on goal. They were replacing him with fucking ghost hands from Germany. Now they've got fucking Alisson, the Brazilian. Right, he may have fucked up against Leicester for one goal, but the guy can ping a 70-yard pass. His shot save ratio has been amazing. He's made some very good saves. I think Liverpool's Champions League, or Liverpool's League fucking chances, Ollie, as good as they've been in years, if you get him at a good price, put a bit of money on. Look, Man City are still fucking as good as they come, but as far as I'm concerned, they're not bad. And I think we should start drawing a close to this episode now by having a chat about the fucking evening we've had in Great Yard, and then coming up to Phil Grimes. And just, I want to say something to you, and I'm very keen on your opinion on this.
Go on.
We call in to fucking, what is it, 4 hours ago, we went into Grady's Yard, had a chat with Kevin, the bar manager, a couple of bar staff. We got this welcoming vibe, which we spoke about earlier on the episode, had a couple of pints. And we come up to our local here, Phil Grimes, and we were all like, we'll go in, we'll get a pint, go down to the Snook. It took us an hour and a half to come down here and record an episode, because Tom, the fucking barman, is so in tune with his regulars. And so, like, we had such good conversation before we even got a chance to get away to have a conversation. What I want to ask you on is, spoiled for choice we are now. We've got two immaculate pubs, one side of a bridge for another. And I just want to know, like, your night's developed. How's it gone? Like, planning going forward. We have some ideas for Grady's Yard. Fill the listeners in for what you have ideas from. Fill them in on how good Phil Grimes is and how we'll never desert it. But yeah, at the same time, we're really excited about an ongoing partnership with Grady's Yard. And just let the listeners know, what's the fucking come from the Snowcast?
Look, do you know what? Like, I'm actually, like when we were starting this off, right?
Yeah.
Bit of a laugh or whatever, right? But like, I've always been so excited about like craft beer and just bars in Waterford as well. Do you know, like, even like back in the day when like the Thirsty Scholar was dropping those nights of
open mics,
like, open mic nights and things like that, right? Absolutely amazing, like, you know, just like really creative nights in Waterford. And like, you know, I'm all about, like, I don't know, I'm all about those like unique experiences in bars. Like, take like the Market Bar in George Street in Dublin, right? So like huge, like, I don't know, huge like warehouse like bar in Dublin, like absolutely massive, like pretty much like an old market that is just like all stalls knocked, everything like in that one place, right? No music plays, right? But because of the amphitheater feel of the thing, right, because there's no music being played, right, everyone's conversation hits every wall, every roof of that place, and reverberates around, so you get that, like, you, like, the music is
electric atmosphere, kind of, like, you know?
Yeah, it, like, so, like, but like the music is like everyone's conversation, like, as in, like, we're talking, they're talking, that's bouncing off the walls, and it, you know, it's coming back, and it's, I don't know, it, like, it is a music in itself, like, you know. So I love that as well. But Grady's Bar tonight, like, look, that is like a unique piece of magic, like,
so
as well.
This episode one is dropping Monday the 1st of October. Like, fucking talk about starting your autumn into winter off while listening to this episode of the Snowcast. Let me tell you about what we're going to lead you in with, right? This episode drops on the 1st of October. That week, we're going to be doing a special interview with Kevin, the manager on Grady's Yard, and Danny, the primary sales rep for Yellow Belly Beer in the southeast, who, by the way, has been involved at various roles in various times in fucking Yellow Belly Brewing, from brewing the beer, fucking cultivating the beer, selling the beer, pouring the beer. He's done it all. So we're going to have an interview, a special interview with those next week. It's going to drop as a special episode. After, we're also going to record an episode of the Snowcast in Grady's Yard that night, which is going to include some of our favourites, some of our favourite contributors. We're going to try and wrangle a few people together, have a fucking belt of an episode out of Grady's Yard. The week after then, we're going to have a regular Snowcast, more than likely. And that weekend, Owen, we're off to a fucking conference that weekend, and we're going to have a surprise for listeners. We're going to Coventry versus Wickham in League One, and we're going to fucking chronologically detail going to a match in a lower league football match and what that means for lads having a couple of points after that. Coming up after that, we have a couple of weeks where I'm going to London and you have other bits on and we're going to pull a few bits together and we're going to have absolute fucking belters of episodes that are kind of thrown together from different bits here and there, not all recorded in one segment. And after that one, I'm going to Liverpool. I'm going to fucking get a few interviews together and we're going to have a fucking belter of a month in October on the Snugcast. Listen to me now, lads. If you're not listening to Snugcast, if you are, you're obviously listening to Snugcast, if you listen to this, get your friends on it, because over the next 2 months we have more content lined up than you can divulge. We're going to have more special episodes than you can divulge and we're going to be fucking more leery than you can fucking hope for. Lads, if you're not on it, get on it. Like, follow, listen, subscribe. This is the Snugcast. We fucking love what we do and we hope you love what we do.
We've had an absolutely amazing time tonight. Like, it's been fucking unbelievable. Guys, like, follow and subscribe. You fucking beautiful bastards.
Sure to be Jesus over that.
Yeah, like, the response we've gotten from this has been out of this world and we're so proud about all of our episodes. Like, they've been absolutely amazing. So, guys, keep us involved, keep fucking tweeting us, keep fucking messaging us on and commenting on our Instagram and Facebook posts. I've been Owen Tab, he's been DJ Walsh.
And just remember, guys, before Owen finishes up, your engagement makes our fucking day. Owen, take it home.
Good luck, God bless.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.